Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky. We're dealing with Parshas Pinchas Part 2, The Makings of Pinchas, or is what I would have originally called tonight's shiur is See Something, Do Something. The last number of years, we have this wonderful saying that we say, see something, say something, but that doesn't always work. Sometimes action is required immediately. We see these people who are taking photographs of things that are happening and showing it later. How about if they get involved? Of course, we understand that a lot of them are afraid to get involved, or they just like to maybe make a few dollars on taking a picture. It's very interesting that we just say, see something, say something, which is okay to a degree if there's nothing that you could really do. But Pinchas ben Elazar really understood at this point in time that 24,000 people have lost their lives because of a magefa, because of what happened at the end of Parshas Balak, the licentiousness of Klal Yisrael, who had been lured into their actions by the Benos Midian, or actually it says here, Benos Moab. But that's another interesting story behind it, which is what we'll get into. Who are they really, these women? According to Abarbanel, this was all the doings of Benos Midian, who were dressed up as Benos Moab, which is why when we get to the Parsha, in this week's Parsha, it says Sororas HaMidyanim, because the truth of the matter is, what did the Binyanim do if the only problem over here was with the death of the 24,000 people was the Benos Moab, Ayochel Ho'am L'Snosel Benos Moab? And what was this all about? But we'll get back to that in a minute. But what I'd like to tell you over here is what we're saying, the making of Pinchas is why Pinchas was that person. And of course, as we mentioned last week, to bring us up to date, is very much so that Pinchas was witness to his grandfather's mistakes, or that his grandfather sat him down, his grandfather Aaron, which is another thing that the only time in the Torah that we see that at the end of Parshas Balak, it gives the lineage of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. And instead of calling him Pinchas or just Pinchas ben Elazar at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, once again, for the only time it says Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, once again, to lend credence to the fact that he came from Aaron. Now, why would that be? We know already that fact, and we know that God is only saying things for a reason. And, of course, what we want to get to the forefront over here is, while I said we want to give credit to Aaron, but why give credit to Aaron if Aaron was the one who was a Rodev Shalom and a Oev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom? We could have just said Oev Shalom. But Rodev Shalom, in the implication, is something very different. Somebody could love peace, but running after peace to do peace leaves a lot to be answered to, because how do you run after peace? Sometimes running after peace, we know that when somebody is marked for death, he's already been sentenced to death, and he runs away from Bezdin, he's a Rodef. In other words, he's Chayav Misa. He is, if somebody kills him, he's not guilty. He's been judged to get the death penalty. Aaron he ran after peace. Sometimes it takes an act of violence to get peace. But that doesn't mean necessarily killing. But what it is, what it says at the beginning of the parasha, when it says that God is not lauding Pinchas for the fact that he killed Zimri and Cosby. What he's saying is over here is he's giving him no hinani no sein lo es prisi shalom, because vayechaper al bnei Yisrael v'hoisa lo lezara akarov beriskuhu nas olam tachas, not because he killed Zimri, but because vayechaper al bnei Yisrael, as opposed to what I said previously in last week's parsha, when Aaron was adjudged to be guilty for the loss of life at the Chet HaEgel, because as much as he tried to put off the eventual calamity of the Chet HaEgel, he caused the death of 3,000 people when Moshe came down and broke the Luchos, and they had to kill so many Jews. And then again, by hitting the rock, not hitting the rock, but by the Chayta Meraglim, Moshe caused by putting the evil thoughts into the mind, the mistaken thoughts into the mind, and for the Chayta Meraglim, and Moshe caused the death of an entire Dor HaMidbar, 600,000, and we said everybody has to be held accountable. Pinchas did not want to be the causation of the death of any more people, and he was of the opinion that by killing Zimri, which he had a right to do, certainly, he was taking his life in his hands, he would do it. But the problem is, as we see at the beginning of the parasha, something very interesting. Rashi points out that the other people of Klal Yisrael were making fun of him, and by saying, look at this Pinchas ben Puti, he had a grandfather. In other words, it says, V'elazor ha-kohen lokach lo mimnos putiel lo lisha v'telad lo es Pinchas. Elazar HaKohen married one of the daughters of Yisrael, and the progeny from this, their son, they had a son named Pinchas, and they said, you see, he's not a real Jew. He had a non-Jewish mother. Of course, she converted, we would have to assume, because all of this would have had to be taken place after Matan Torah, but regardless, he had that, they were saying, another Jew, imagine a Jew to kill another Jew is without God instructing somebody to do that, like putting him to death, al pi bezdin, just taking the law into his own hands. We know that's the halacha of kanoim pogimbo, but while somebody is in the act of doing a maisa, which is certainly a chil Hashem as it was here, you have the right, but only during the commission of the crime, which is what Zimri was doing, and he took the bull by the horns, and he took Vayikach Romach Biado, and he killed him. But they were saying, you see that? The only reason that Pinchas did it, because he really wasn't really so much of a Jew. He had a mother who was brought up as a guy until she married Elazar HaKohen. She was a non-Jew, and that's why his lineage was suspect, and that's why he did it. And that's what they were making fun of. But the fact is, so the Torah now tells us, let's get away from that. We said it at the beginning when we gave his lineage, and now God is saying once again, well, let's put that out of our minds. It's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. I'm willing, we all know how great Aaron was, that he was an Oev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom, and his grandson was Pinchas. It gives the legitimacy of the Torah, means to give here the legitimacy and the greatness of Pinchas, because his grandfather was none other than Moshe's holy brother Aaron, which is a very important factor here. And not only that, besides as Prisi Shalom, so we might ask a question here. If he is a Kohen, then how could he have killed Zimri? If a Kohen kills, he is Pasul Avoda. When a Kohen kills, he's not able to do the Avoda. He's a murderer. And the answer is very simple, because one would assume that since Aaron is a Kohen, and Elazar is appointed a Kohen, that automatically upon his birth, Pinchas, he's a Kohen. But at this point, we learn from the beginning of this parasha something very interesting. It says, V'hoi solo kuhunas olam, beris kuhunas olam. God was now making him a Kohen. Up to heretofore, Pinchas was the son of Elazar. Elazar was a Kohen, but Pinchas was not necessarily the next appointed Kohen at this point. It wasn't going to necessarily be the line of Pinchas that would be one that was due to be the Kohanim forever and ever. And that is the fact over here. So now he kills Zimri, and after this murder, after he does this by saving Klal Yisrael from any further death, so God says, Vayichaper al b'nei Yisrael, and therefore I'm giving him because of his act of peace. He was an Oev, because he was an Oev Shalom, and he was willing to be a Rodev Shalom, running after and killing somebody who deserved to be put to death. That is what an Oev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom, he could have said by Aaron, he was an Oev Shalom. But the language that we use is ohev and rodef. It is two separate things that is ways to achieve peace. Sometimes we achieve peace by stroking if somebody's back, and sometimes we achieve peace by using force. And that is something that we have to learn. And when we learn in Parshas, not in Parshas Devarim, but later on, when we're learning Shoftim and Kisei, if you're going to war, when it says Milchama v'yasasa imcha Milchama ad ridita, you make sure when you go to war, you finish the job, which is, of course, what Shaul's mistake was when he went after, when God commanded him to kill out all of Amalek. He did not do Milchama ad ridita. He didn't finish the job, and for that we all suffer. And for that reason, in addition to that, when we get to next, all of a sudden when it says, Sororis Hamidyonim, we'll finish up that thought now. Sororis Hamidyonim, why would we say Sororis Hamidyonim? The problem was Benos Moab over here. So even if you want to say, not like the Abar Benel, that it was the Benos Moab to cause all this calamity that led them into a life of licentiousness and to bow down to idols, by Yitzamed Yisrael of Al-Piyar, that they got them to bow down to idols, and that's why they died. But the fact was, this was all instigated by Midian. And what was their crime, Midian, as opposed to Moab? Because when we say Moavi, Moavi, Velo Moavis, one would think, Vayochel O'am L'Znos El Benos Moab, that perhaps and certainly would seem to be logical that if it was Benos Moab that caused the death of 24,000 Jews, that it should be also that Rus should also not be allowed to be a Jew. And that's what Bnei Yisrael thought, even up to the time of David HaMelech, that this is what the problem is. But the reality was that Moab, at least they had a reason to go up against Klal Yisrael. They stood to lose land. When they were blocking the ways of the Jews, they stood to lose property. The problem was Midian. The only reason why God says Sororis HaMidyonim and not Sororis HaMoavim, because the people of Midian spurred on, they instigated the entire incident that caused the Benos Moab to go up and lure Bnei Israel into doing this idol worship and licentiousness that would cause the idol worship. And this is why it says Sororis HaMidyonim. And we see, just to say the miracle even further, it would be very interesting, since I just told you that a Kohen who commits a murder is not eligible to do the Avodah, when we see in next week's Parsha, when they actually do go to war against Midian, it says, Osam, God said to Moshe, choose 1,000 people from each tribe. I want you to show them that we only have to send a few thousand soldiers. We don't have to amass the entire army of 600,000 able-bodied soldiers. We're just going to send an expeditionary force of 12,000 soldiers to defeat the entire people, just to show them. So why would you say, Osam, who else? The Es Pinchas. It singles out Pinchas. So, of course, Rashi at that point singles out. It says Rashi because it says Pinchas, because Pinchas began the whole thing by killing Cosby from Cosby Batsur Basnasi Midyan Achosam, the daughter of the king of Midyan, and now he started the job, he started the ball rolling, and now he gets to finish. He was Messiah with the mitzvah, and now he gets to finish the mitzvah. And that is the type of person that he was. And that's why, even though we don't read the Haftorah from Parshas Pinchas this week, because we only read it in next year, probably, perhaps we will, when it's in Ibiyor, I didn't look, but next year is a leap year, perhaps we will read Parshas Pinchas. It's not usual, even in most leap years, we read Matos Masei together, so that we have Devarim coming out during the 3 weeks. But Pinchas has, all about Eliyahu. And the reason we discuss Eliyahu on Parshas Pinchas and Haftorah, because we don't know more than this about Pinchas. He's mentioned one time in Navi. Many years later, it seemed that Pinchas lived an extremely long life, but it doesn't ever tell us how long he lived and when he died. And in addition to that, why is the Medrash say that Pinchas ze Eliyahu, that perhaps Pinchas and Eliyahu are one and the same? Because the reality is, if you go to back, if you go into the Navi and you look up the life of Eliyahu HaNavi, we know so little about Eliyahu. We have a few parakim in Navi about various things that he did and the tremendous things that he accomplished. But the reality is, he just, as appears to all the other Nevi'im, he just appears on the scene suddenly. We know nothing about his beginnings, and we know nothing about the end of Pinchas, and nothing about the beginnings of Eliyahu. And we begin to think that since they were the same mentality, the same temperament of, not to say just hot-headed, but taking the bull by the horns, and when it was time to, when they saw something, they didn't say something and tell somebody else to do it. We know there are a lot of people who they try to get other people to do their dirty work. They say, oh, this looks wrong, why don't you do something about it? Pinchas was not that person. And that's why it is what the Torah, when the Torah tells us, Hocheach, Tocheach, Esamisecha, we don't just mean that you don't stand by. You have to do something. Sometimes it means putting your life on the line. It's a very difficult line to cross, and only very few people are able to rise to that occasion. Pinchas was one of those people. Where he got his gumption from, and as I said, I'd like to think that he got it from his grandfather, Aaron, and certainly parts of it from there. But what I wanted to say is certainly he had the greatest respect for Moshe. And when we take a look at the census taken again in this parsha, there's something that is really very striking. I mentioned many weeks ago at the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, when they take the original census in Parshas Bamidbar, it mentions the children, it gives the how many people in each shevet, and then it gives this, the back of the beginnings of Moshe and Aaron, and it lists the children of Aaron. And over there, it never mentions the children of Moshe. And we talked about that question there. And guess what? We have the same census over here, and it talks about, again, the entire Shevet of the Kohanim and the Levim in detail. And once again, it mentions even Nadav and Avihu, who are no longer extant. They are no longer existent. They died 40 years, 39 years ago. And guess what? Even Ger Moshe's two sons are once again left out. And it says after that something that's really, we might think that whatever it is, who took the census? And the Torah tells us one very interesting pasuk, and it says, Uviela lo hayo ish mipkudei Moshe, lest we think somebody else took the census and left out the children of Moshe. It was Moshe, Moshe only, Moshe and Elazar, and nobody else who took the census. And once again, Moshe's children are not listed. We may ask that question, that Moshe had the influence on the life of certainly of Pinchas and Elazar and Isamar, and he lacked the ability because of he designated his life, he gave over his life to Bnei Yisrael. And we see that with many great people who give of their entire life. They service the community, they service their flock, and unfortunately they leave their own family behind. It's not very many gedolim who bring up children after them who are able to be, as we call it in what the Gemara calls memala makom, when we're talking about able to fill their father's shoes, to take their place. And there's been a lot that happens through the years, and we see that in Rabbanis when one of them passes on, is the son capable of taking his father's place? Usually not. Sometimes yes, but it's rare. And Moshe's children were not able. Aaron was, so to speak, a vice president. He had time to be with his family and was able to bring up Elazar and Isamar. Moshe had, it would appear to be, no time for his own children. We don't even know how much time he was able to spend with his own children. Even Moshe probably had more time with Pinchas because he was now involved in the last year of Moshe's life. He was obviously going to be the Kohen Gadol after Elazar at this point in time. And therefore, he had a lot of dealings with him. But we might ask, what happened to Gershom and Eliezer? They ended up to be nobody. They're mentioned, one of them is only mentioned one time in Navi. May we appreciate that the people who give up of their time to be the leaders in the community, to give them time sometimes to spend with their own children so that they have time to bring them up and can fill their shoes, because obviously some of these leaders have it in their genes and they're worth passing on. Have a great Shabbos. Have a good week. And don't forget Thursday, Shavuot, Shabbat, Thomas. I'm sure we all know. Thank you. Good night.